Bet Saturday on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back here on Live Bet Saturday, I'm Scott Satterberg with you on VSiN, the sports betting network. Always on Twitter, at Scott's on air. Hit us all up on the network, at VSiN Live, monitoring the action in Major League Baseball. Our night games that we have bet will start in about 10 minutes from now. Just what a game. The Mets and Phillies are about to wrap up. It is a 15-3 lead for the Phillies over the New York Mets. The Phillies did something tonight that has not been done since 1932. We'll explain that coming up a little bit later on. But joining us right now on the Progressive Guest Line as we break down the U.S. Open. That's right, our national championship. He is Byron Lindekew, Back Nine Bets and Fantasy Golf Degenerates Pods for Mayo Media Network. Byron, thanks so much for giving us a couple minutes. And Wyndham Clark atop the leaderboard at 7 under, 6 strokes ahead of Scottie Scheffler. Did you think, one, we would have any golfer post a score of 7 under through 3 rounds here, or even 4 rounds at Shinnecock? And two, how surprised are you by this large of a gap between the leader and the golfers that are T2?
Yeah, I think just with who is doing this, it's quite shocking in my opinion, because with Wyndham Clark, if he wins this US Open tomorrow, he'll have 2 major wins and 3 major top 20s on his resume.
Wow.
So I think the general sentiment with him being at the top is like he's almost undeserving of being there because of the lack of major reps and the amount of time we see him like on the big stage. But he just seems, you know, when he is firing, he's one of the most talented and explosive golfers on the planet. So, and we are seeing it unfold in front of our own eyes.
It's unbelievable. I mean, when he had that eagle on 16, I thought this tournament was over. He bogeys 18 here today, so it gives a little bit of a chance maybe, but you're looking at the betting markets right now, and I'm looking at just one book by example. Obviously, shop around, get your different prices. DraftKings has Wyndham Clark at minus 230 to win, Scottie Scheffler at plus 570. We know that Scheffler's capable of doing it. Do you see this being a drama-filled fourth round come tomorrow night?
I don't think so, because I think Wyndham just needs to, with how difficult this golf course is, if you can just keep making pars, it's so, you saw what Scotty had to do today. He had to like super tap Scotty to generate some birdies down the stretch, chip things in, hit it to a couple feet, make a couple big putts. It's difficult to chase people down on this golf course. So if Wyndham has his game, he can just par this place to death. He can shoot 73 tomorrow and potentially still win this thing, because there's only 4 people that could shoot a 66 in some really tough conditions to tie him.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, that's that element. We saw him come out last Sunday at the RBC Canadian Open a little slow, lost a couple drives here and there. If you're driving it errantly around a golf course like this, it's the first domino that falls out of line, and then everything else goes to crap. So you've got to make sure that you are driving well. And that is one of Wyndham's bigger weaknesses. Under pressure, maybe that can be an area that kind of gets exploited a little bit in the wind.
So if we think that this is going to be a Wyndham Clark coronation come tomorrow, what creative ways can we look to play some bets here on the final round? Do you like doing round score? Do you like doing matchup bets? How are you betting the fourth round here tomorrow?
Okay, so you can find some top 20s and top 40s on some of your favorite golfers that are going off early in the morning. Guys like a Russell Henley, if you haven't bet a Russell Henley top 40, you can jump on that. He's a million miles behind top 40, but let's just ignore him a little bit. Let's go with like someone like Hideki Matsuyama instead, who's, you know, 5 strokes back of a T40, but he gets a tee off way early at 18 tomorrow. He can fly up a leaderboard and take advantage of the nice softer conditions in the less windy conditions as well. And, you know, kind of take advantage of the guys going off early for some top 20, top 40 finishing positions tomorrow. Cameron Young, maybe a top 20, works out well. Walker Niemann, same situation. You know, I wouldn't be shocked to see him, Tyrrell Hatton, Justin Thomas, all kind of outside the top 20, but get relatively early tee times before 11 o'clock or so to take advantage of the weather before it gets ramps up and dries out the golf course.
Do you think we see some low scores here tomorrow? Like, do you? I know, like, you know, yes. Saturday's moving day, but do you think that we see some low scores and a lot of changes on the leaderboard here on Sunday?
Yes, I think we see the lowest scores over the weekend tomorrow for sure. Maybe even, I mean, I'm looking at weather, and the weather can make you seem like a complete idiot because you believe what you see and then it comes to fruition and we don't know what we're talking about. But at 11 o'clock tomorrow morning, it's going to be blowing 2 miles an hour with gusts of 11. Then at 3 o'clock, we're going to see 13 miles an hour with gusts of 21. So there, you know, we haven't seen anything less than 10 miles an hour all week. Yes, the course is probably going to play a little firmer than we've seen it most of the week as well. But these professionals, when it isn't windy, can dismantle just about any golf course because they are just so precise. And wind is one of the biggest variables out there. So I think we can see some super low scores early in the morning.
Byron Lindekue from Back Nine Bets and Fantasy Golf Degenerate Pods for Mayo Media Network. Joining me, Scott Seidenberg, here on the Progressive Guest Line. It's Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Byron, looking at the analytics, right, looking at the models, who has outperformed their stats here this weekend that we could be looking to fade in the fourth round, and who has maybe gotten unlucky a bit? Maybe their metrics say that they should have had some better results, if not for maybe lack, you know, putting or whatnot, and we could be looking to buy in on them here in the fourth round.
A perfect candidate for this is Sahith Theegala, who leads the field in strokes gained ball striking this week. He's almost gaining 3 strokes per round, but losing half a stroke on average putting this week. So he is typically a solid putter. I think, you know, we saw some putts go in late for him towards the end of the round on round 3. That could build some momentum for him going forward. Some other guys that have lost strokes putting that are absolutely striking it to death are Alex Fitzpatrick, Keegan Bradley, and Corey Connors, sitting there in that T13 pocket. All three of them having lost at least over half a stroke on the greens while gaining over 6.5 on the ball striking, which is exactly what you want at a course like this. So if they can continue to hit the ball well, they're going to afford themselves a lot of birdie looks tomorrow, especially in the conditions that are a little less windy than we've seen before.
Yeah, it's amazing. You look at Theegala's even par round. He had the bogey on 6 and a birdie on 18, and then pars on every single other hole. Right now, he is tied for second at 1 under. You can get plus 142 right now on a top 5 finish for Theegala. Would you look that way, or would you lay the juice on a top 10 finish?
I think, you know, with the volatility at the top of the board, yeah, I'd probably take the plus money, kind of invest a little less, take on some more risk. I think you can expect him to bounce big or blow up, you know, so I think a nice little top 5 action there works. It's also interesting to note that, you know, he's not one of the many guys at the top of his board. Sam Stevens, another one that will be looking for his first top 20, I believe, in a major as well, despite this being his 8th consecutive major cut made. So he's been really good in these majors, but he's never really found himself in this situation. And, you know, he's been putting relatively well above his average this week. But he's someone that comes to mind. Keith Mitchell, Emiliano Grillo, all three of those guys as well, kind of out of place at the top of the leaderboard. But at some point, you've got to be in place, you know, to kind of come through there. So we'll see how those two do as well.
All right, I'm going to give you a couple of fun bets here. You tell me over or under. All right, here we go. Let's start with Here we go, Byron. We're going to start with final round score. Scottie Scheffler over under 70.5.
Under.
Okay, the under's juiced. I like it too. It's under minus 145 or so. Under 70.5. I do agree with you, though. I think Scotty's putting up a number. I don't know if he's going to get to Wyndham Clark, but I think Scotty hits, he shoots below par here, which is 70. So I do like the under 70.5. Now let's talk about Wyndham Clark. His number, and think about this, the book expects him to come back down to earth. 72.5 over under for Wyndham Clark.
Yeah, I don't think that's got, if he had a one-shot lead, I think we could be looking at potentially this line being set at 71.5 or 70.5, you know, based on how he's been playing. Sam Burns is 71.5 at the same kind of odds. So they're expecting him to kind of nurse the lead, and with having such a large lead, I was going to say, like, if you're playing showdown, he could be quite popular because of the lead and finishing points, but that's a big lead. He could make some premeditated bogeys just to kind of make sure he comes in ahead of the score that he needs to down the stretch. So I think the over makes sense. And he could just have a bad round as well as the leader of the US Open. So I think that kind of angle makes a bit more sense to me.
That's a tremendous way to think about it, and I never did. It is the idea that he plays it cautiously, and because he's got such a big lead, you know what it has me thinking about, Byron, here is the birdies under 2.5 for Wyndham Clark at actually a plus money price. That maybe he just plays it very cautiously and just says, hey, all I need to do is shoot par here, and I'm going to win the U.S. Open. Maybe he doesn't take chances. Maybe he lays up and is not so aggressive attacking the hole, maybe under 2.5 birdies at a plus money price.
I don't mind that at all. And it's going to be windy. You know, this is going to be the firmest the course will be all week, and they will still be seeing the wind that they saw most of the week. It's the morning wave that gets kind of the breathless condition. So that 72 is still very live.
I like it. Hey, Byron, great stuff as always, man. Love your insight on the sport and your bets as well. Good luck with everything that you have pending here going into tomorrow's final round.
I hear your bets are doing fantastic. Good luck with yours. Let the carnage commence. Wyndham Clark get a little slippery on under the foot there. And, you know, let's have an all-time U.S. Open Sunday. Thanks for having me on.
Would be unbelievable. There he is, Byron Lindekew from Back 9 Bets, Fantasy Golf Degenerates Pod for Mayo Media Network. Look, we're sweating out five golfers right now. They're all in the T10. Can one of them get an outright? Even if it's Scotty, I'll take the small profit here with Scotty here. But, can we get a Fitzpatrick or a Shoffley or a Sam Burns? Can Wyndham Clark come back down to the pack? I want drama here on Sunday. That's all I'm asking for. I'm Scott Seidenberg. It's Live Bet Saturday right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. VSiN Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with VSiN Pro.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back here on Live Bet Saturday, I'm Scott Seidenberg with you on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. My thanks to our last guest, Byron Lindekew from Back 9 Bets Fantasy Golf Degenerates, gave us the plays for the final round of the U.S. Open. And again, here are your odds courtesy of DraftKings with Wyndham Clark at 7-under, having a 6-stroke lead over Scottie Scheffler. That is going to be your final pairing here on Sunday. Wyndham Clark is minus 230 to win. Scottie Scheffler plus 570. And then if you want to take a shot on somebody else, you got Xander Schauffele, 2350. Seth Thigala, plus 2800. Tom Kim, plus 2900. Sam Burns, 33-1. But you can get creative with some of these bets doing, as we talked about, whether it is the round four score or maybe doing like a round four matchup, a top 10, a top 20. Like right now, like top 10 bets, let's see. You can get Fitzpatrick minus 146, Fleetwood minus 142, things like that. Sam Burns minus 182, Thigala, as we talked about, minus 200. He needs some better luck with the putter. You can bet him plus 142 to finish in top five, though, which is pretty interesting if he has a better day putting. And then this is one that I thought was very interesting. The under 2.5 birdies or better for Wyndham Clark at plus 112. If we think that he's going to come back to the pack, which means that it's going to be some bogeys on the card. But I think with the, as we talked about, with such a big lead going into the final round, Wyndham Clark just might play this cautiously. He might take a step back and say, I don't need to be super aggressive. I don't need to attack the green in two on these par fives. I don't need to, you know, be so bold with my club choices. He could shoot par, and the odds are if he shoots a par 70, he's not going to lose the U.S. Open. Scottie Scheffler's not going to I'm not going to say never. It could happen, and if anybody's going to do it, it's going to be Scottie Scheffler, right? But the odds of Scottie on this course with these conditions shooting a 6-under par tomorrow? Extremely rare. It's not going to happen. And so think about that. If Wyndham Clark just shoots even, he's going to win. If he shoots one over, probably going to win. The way that he loses is if there are scores on the course tomorrow, Scotty shoots like a 4-under or a 5-under, and Clark shoots like a 3-over. That's what you're looking for. The best round today was Emiliano Grillo, who shot 3-under. The second best round today, Scotty Scheffler, 1-under. Only two golfers in the third round shot under par. 3-under for Grillo, 1-under for Scotty. Everybody else, there was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 golfers, including Wyndham Clark, who shot even, and everybody else was above par. Let that sink in. Come on. Now, all of a sudden, we're going to believe that it's going to be, you know, some crazy fourth round. I hope so. I would love to see some drama. I would absolutely love to see some drama. I'm Scott Satterberg, always on Twitter at Scott's On Air, ScottsOnAir. Let's check in on your Major League Baseball scoreboard. Right now in Colorado, the Rockies with a 2-1 lead over the Pirates going to the bottom of the fourth inning there in Colorado. Paul Skeens has 4 strikeouts, so we are 3 strikeouts away from hitting our over 6.5 strikeout prop. Skeens is at 57 pitches, so he should be good for at least 2 more innings, if not 3 more innings. We need 3 strikeouts here from Paul Skeens to hit the over 6.5. Bottom of the first, the A's have the bases loaded here against the Angels. Jonah Heim is up with 1 out and the bases loaded. No score there in the bottom of the first, but could be about to be broken wide open here. Also with the bases loaded, the Minnesota Twins with 2 outs in the top of the first inning have the bases loaded. We would love to get a hit here to come through for us because we do have the Twins on the money line as a short underdog. We also are fading Zach Gallen here. We bet the under, outs recorded at 17.5 for Zach Gallen. So a big inning here in the top of the first inning would be great for us to, put a hurting on Zach Gallen early and, increase his chances of it being a short evening for him. Plus the fact that we just have the plus money price on the Twins on the money line. We absolutely want to see a hit come through for us here and score some runs in the top of the first inning. Bottom of the first inning, no score between the Orioles and the Dodgers. And bottom of the first inning, Mariners and Red Sox are scoreless. We do have the over in that game, so we want to see some runs being scored between the Mariners and the Red Sox. We did take the over 7 in that game. So the bets that we're sweating out, Paul Skeens over 6.5 strikeouts. He has 4 right now in the bottom of the fourth inning. We have the Red Sox Mariners over 7, and there's runners on first and second with nobody out for the Mariners in the top of the first inning. We have, bottom of the first inning. We have Yoshinobu Yamamoto over 18.5 outs recorded. He obviously got through the top of the first inning cleanly with no hits. And we have 2 plays in that Twins Diamondbacks game. The Twins on the money line at plus 105 and Zach Gallen under 17.5 outs recorded. The Twins have the bases loaded with 2 outs here. And now the Twins have a 2-0 lead. There we go. Looks like it was a single scoring 2 runs here by, who was that? Brooks Lee. Singled, scoring 2 runs. First and third with 2 outs. The Twinkies, an early 2-0 lead over Zach Gallen. You love to see it. We're off to a good start here with our Twins bet. Skeens has given up a couple of base runners here to start the bottom of the inning. A walk and then a hit batter. So first and second with nobody out here. Skeens might be a little bit off here tonight. Looking at the box score right now, obviously it's a 2-1 lead for the Rockies. The first run, what are you going to do? It goes into the books as a home run. It wasn't a home run. It was an inside the park home run where McCarthy led off the game for the Rockies with a line drive to center field in which the center fielder, Jake Mangum, dove for the ball. And in that ballpark with so much grass in that outfield, if you're going to dive for a play, you got to be sure that, one, your player is behind you, and two, you're going to get to the ball, at least maybe knock it down. He completely whiffs on the dive. The ball rolls all the way to the right center field wall, and Jake McCarthy ran all the way around the bases for an inside-the-park home run. So that was the home run that Paul Skeens gave up, and then a single in the bottom of the third inning. So Skeens, 3 innings, 4 hits, 2 runs, 1 walk, 4 strikeouts, 64 pitches, 39 strikes. So not exactly a good strike to pitches ratio here. and let's see if he can get some strikeouts for us. We need three strikeouts, and I believe he gets the first out that is not a strikeout, a lineout here. So one out in the bottom of the fourth inning, Rockies 2-1 lead over the Pittsburgh Pirates. So that's your night slate of games here tonight that we are sweating out. Taking a look at tomorrow's schedule, your early game is, well, they don't have, there's not an early NBC game for this Sunday, but you have a bunch of 1:35 Eastern time games, including the Reds at the New York Yankees, as the Yankees are look to bounce back after a 10-2 rout by the Reds here on Saturday. Going for the Yankees will be Elmer Rodriguez and Chase Burns on the mound for the Reds. Chase Burns with his 8-1 record, 2.01 ERA this season, gets a tough test here against the New York Yankees. You know, I was thinking about the Yankees today. Not because I always think about the New York Yankees, but I was thinking about the Yankees today. I was watching the broadcast, and I was watching, obviously the game didn't go their way, and it worked out for me. I had the over, and I also had the Reds team total over in the first five innings, which cashed. But I was watching Will Warren, and I'm listening to the Yankees broadcast talk about Will Warren and what he brings to this team. And then, you know, Paul O'Neill made a great point. When you look at the Yankees, they're winning now in spite of, like, their lineup, which is not something that the Yankees have been accustomed to doing. Like, there's no Judge, there's no Stanton, there's no Grisham in this lineup right now. But yet they're winning baseball games because their pitching has been elite. You know, Gerrit Cole comes back from the injury, and he hasn't really skipped a beat. Rodon's doing okay. Max Fried's still on the IL. You're waiting for him to return, but Cam Schlittler is an American League Cy Young candidate. Will Warren's having a great season today, obviously aside. But think about, the Yankees could be in a position when Fried gets back and they're healthy, and also Clark Schmidt comes back in August, they're going to be in a position where they don't need to make a move at the trade deadline, because the move that they're going to make is with the pitching and relief pitching is going to come from within. They're going to use guys that are getting healthy to then, you know, replace guys in the bullpen. So Max Fried comes back, maybe it's Will Warren, you know, going to the bullpen. Maybe it's Clark Schmidt going to the bullpen. That's how the Yankees are going to bolster this pitching staff, and it makes them a very dangerous team as we get into October. Hey, football season may still be months away, but the best bettors are already prepping for it. And on Monday, VSiN releases the NFL betting guide, packed with everything you need to attack the futures with win totals, division, awards bet, all that stuff. Right now, you can lock in early bird pricing on our football special for just $175. Be among the first to get the guide when it drops on Monday. The sooner you sign up, the more value you get, with full access to everything we do from every sport through the Super Bowl. Go to vsin.com/subscribe now. That's vsin.com/subscribe. It's Live Bet Saturday right here on VSiN.
This is Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Scott Satterberg back here with you, Live Bet Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We are tracking our late Major League Baseball sweats in progress right now. Here's what's going on as we update your live scoreboard. We're going to the bottom of the fifth inning in Colorado, where the Rockies have a 2-1 lead over the Pittsburgh Pirates. Paul Skeens has four strikeouts. We need three more to cash our over 6.5. How about we go to Sacramento, where the Angels are taking on the A's, top of the second inning, no score between those two teams. The Angels do have two runners on and are threatening. Top of the second inning in Seattle, the Mariners score one run in the bottom of the first. They have a 1-0 lead over the Red Sox. Going to the bottom of the second in LA, the Orioles with a 1-0 lead over the Dodgers. Bottom of the first in Arizona, the Twins a 2-0 lead over the Diamondbacks after they score two with a bases-loaded single by Brooks Lee in the top of the first inning. So that's what's in progress. We are sweating out several bets with these late games. We'll keep you updated as we progress throughout these games. Let's take a look real quick, though, at something historic that occurred in the Phillies' 15-3 rout of the New York Mets here on your Saturday night nationally televised game. I mentioned earlier, I teased it, the Phillies did something that had only been done one other time in baseball, and it hadn't happened since 1932. And that is a player hit for the cycle and another player hit three home runs in the same game. Bryce Harper hit for the cycle for the Phillies, and Kyle Schwarber hit three home runs for the Phillies. That has not happened in Major League Baseball since 1932, when Tony Lazzieri hit for the cycle and Lou Gehrig hit four home runs for the New York Yankees on June 3rd, 1932. Just historic stuff here from the Phillies. And another thing about the Phillies here, with Bryce Harper hitting for the cycle, it's the fat he hit for the cycle in the by the fifth inning, I think it was. And it became the, five innings. I think it's the fastest cycle in Phillies history. Not only is it the fifth inning, here we go. Oh, look at this. Bryce Harper, it took, I'm reading from The Athletic, 11.8 seconds to go from the batter's box to third base. That's incredible. He committed the cycle in five innings, one of the quickest cycles in 144 seasons of Philadelphia Phillies baseball. The 11th cycle in baseball history, the first one since Weston Wilson in 2024. And since the beginning of the 20th century, this is according to The Athletic, the only other Phillies player with a five-inning cycle was Greg Jeffries in 1995. It was only the seventh cycle in baseball over the first five innings since 1961. Wow. That's crazy. Only since 1961, since they started keeping track of this, I guess, the seventh cycle in just five innings. Bryce Harper did it here tonight. Adrian Beltre did it in 2015. BJ Upton in 2009. Mike Lansing for the Rockies in 2000. Greg Jeffries, as we mentioned, in 1995. Ian DeJesus of the Cubs in 1980. And Jimmy Ray Hart for San Francisco in 1970. We all remember Jimmy Ray Hart, right? So a historic performance from the Philadelphia Phillies beating up on the New York Mets 15-3. Oh, by the way, can't forget about Christopher Sanchez, who went six innings, allowing just one run as he continues to dominate at Citizens Bank Park. We talked about this before the game, how dominant coming into the game at home, he had an ERA of 0.9. Just an incredible season he has had at Citizens Bank. He lowered his ERA on the season to 1.8. And we know that the markets are reactionary, not predictive, but FanDuel is one that updates these award markets pretty much after or during the games. Like, they update them very quickly. Odds for the National League Cy Young, Jacob Mizorowski -160, Christopher Sanchez +280. So not that big of a reaction after that performance. Maybe money comes in overnight and that line changes once we get to tomorrow. So might be an opportunity if you're in on Christopher Sanchez to win the National League Cy Young to go ahead and bet it right now. Paul Skenes does get one strikeout here in the bottom of the fifth inning. So he has five strikeouts right now. He's at 77 pitches. We're going to get maybe one more inning from him if we're lucky. Like, I think they let him go six innings. At least that's my hope. He's gone six innings in each of his last two starts. He had a bad start where against Houston. Well, not a bad start, but he had a lot of pitches, 109 pitches. He only went 4 2/3 innings. But he had gone six, his pitch counts in the last couple of games, 104, 103, 109, 103. So he's at 77 right now. If he can get out of this fifth inning, there's a good chance that we get him he pitches the sixth inning. You're not going to pull him with 80 pitches. You're going to let him go out in the sixth inning and see if he can get you a quick couple of outs in the sixth inning. And it's only like a 20-pitch inning or so, and he finishes with 100 pitches, or it's a 25-pitch inning, and he finishes with 105. So it's an 0-2 count now to Will Castro. It would be huge if we can get the strikeout and then have six strikeouts going into the sixth inning, needing just one strikeout to cash our over 6.5 for Paul Skenes. Again, he was at 77 pitches last I checked. Now he's at 79 pitches with an 0-2 count here to Will Castro. Let's see if we can get the strikeout here and be at 80 pitches. Oh, it's a foul ball. Hate that. It's going to rack up the pitch count. He's at 80 pitches now with an 0-2 count. We hope that they send him out there for the sixth inning. It's a 2-1 game. I mean, you're trailing by one. He hasn't given up anything. His pitch counts have been 109, 103. Like, so even if he finishes this inning with 85, I think you still send him out there for the sixth inning. Now, if this inning gets extended by any way, shape, or form, and he winds up at like 90 plus pitches in this inning, then I can see them deciding to go to the bullpen to start the sixth inning, which would be a bad beat for us if he does, in fact, strike out Will Castro here. Foul ball on the third pitch, a ball on the fourth pitch, a foul ball on the fifth pitch, another ball here on the sixth pitch. So now the pitches are adding up for Skeens. So even if he does get the strikeout here, the odds are now stacking up against us for him to pitch the sixth inning. But let's see. As I mentioned, the pitch counts were 109, 105, 106, 103. Maybe they do let him go out there. Why pull him after 80-somewhat pitches? Again, it's a close game. It's a 2-1 game here in the bottom of the fifth inning. But we do need this strikeout. We really don't want this inning to continue and add to the pitch count here for Paul Skeens. So waiting for this at-bat to finish, and then we'll get you an updated market here. Yes, Castro strikes out swinging. Okay. So 2-1, the Rockies lead going into the top of the sixth inning. Here's your live betting market right now. We have Rockies minus 136, Pirates plus 104. That's your live market right now. Total of 7.5. Skeens does have 6 strikeouts here, and he has thrown 80. It is now 84 pitches. He has 6 strikeouts, 5 innings, 4 hits, 2 runs, 1 walk, the 1 home run. Not a real home run. As I mentioned before, it was an inside-the-park home run. 84 pitches, I think you got to send him out for the sixth inning. Let him get, if he can get some quick outs, great. If he gets into trouble, I think you pull him. He's got about, I'd say, a 20 pitches would be at 104. Do you give him 25 pitches in the inning? Hey, we just need 3. Give us 3 pitches, 3 strikes, and then we're good. And then you could pull him from the game. So we hope that we get Paul Skeens back out here for the sixth inning for the Pirates against the Rockies. Angels have taken a 2-0 lead over the A's in the second inning. Live line is the Angels minus 171, live total of 10.5. The Orioles with that 1-0 lead over the Dodgers in the third inning. Live line there, Dodgers minus 169. If you think they come back, they're only down 1-0. It's still very early in that game. And then let's see, total in that one is at 6.5. The Red Sox are at the Mariners. Mariners a 1-0 lead, bottom of the second inning. Mariners on the live line, minus 314. Live total of 6.5. Twins with the 2-0 lead over the Diamondbacks, top of the second in Arizona. Twins minus 235 on the live line, total of 10.5. So let's see who's threatening right now. Mariners do have a runner on, and nobody else has anything going on for Angels have runners on second and third here in their top of the second inning. So those are your live scores in progress right now and our live sweats as we progress throughout this Live Bet Saturday episode. Look, the sports calendar never stops. The Sharp Plays covers it all. And they've been winning for 15 straight years. All of it documented, logs public, posted publicly at sharpplays.com. It's the kind of transparency that's rare in this industry. And when the Sharp Plays moves, the sports books take notice. Advanced AI, trusted insider intel, they find the value before the numbers shift. Respected, watched, feared. Start winning with them at sharpplays.com. Again, sharpplays.com. I'm Scott Seidenberg, always up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. Coming up next, we'll take a look at the schedule here for Sunday in the World Cup. We do also have a game coming up tonight, but World Cup action for Sunday. Any bets that we want to place? We have some favorites that we might have to get cute and creative with in order to back because of just how heavy the prices are for these teams. Plus, we'll take a look at some of the things that we can expect here in Major League Baseball and move and project forward with some best bets as well. I'm Scott Seidenberg right here with you. Live Bet Saturday continues here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Saturday on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
back here on Live Bet Saturday. I'm Scott Seidenberg on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. You guys can contribute to the program. Hit me up on Twitter at ScottsOnAir, ScottsOnAir. Hit us all up on the network at VSiN Live. The sweat is on. We are in the bottom of the sixth inning in Colorado. Paul Skeens back out on the mound for the Pirates. He is at 84 pitches to start this inning. We need one strikeout to cash our strikeout prop of Paul Skeens over 6.5 strikeouts. And, of course, we are sweating this because this is going to be his last inning. And if he doesn't get a strikeout this inning, we're not going to get it. And if this inning, he could also not finish this inning if it doesn't go his way. His pitch counts are usually around 109, 106, 104. So coming into this inning, he's got like a 20-pitch cushion or so before the Pirates decide to pull him. Hey, maybe they let him finish it, however it is. But we have a 2-2 count on TJ Rumfeld after a foul ball on a 1-2 pitch. So I would love to just not sweat this at all, and let's just get this right now with the first batter of the sixth inning. I'd feel real good about it, especially after we lost that Ecuador live bet. Like, we need to pick up another win here. We offset our Phillies loss with the first three-inning loss by live betting the Phillies over. And so we cashed that. We made up for that loss. Now we need to make up for the Ecuador live bet by cashing this Paul Skeens, strikeout prop. And then, of course, we have our four bets pending for the night games here in Major League Baseball. We'll update you on those. It is a 3-2 count here on TJ Rumfeld here. So let's see if Skeens can get the strikeout and if we can cash our bet or if the sweat continues. You know, you wonder how long they let Skeens go in this inning. As I mentioned, started the inning with 84 pitches and strikeout swinging. Take a bow, everyone. Thank you, Paul Skeens. 7 strikeouts on the night. Nice way to cash. We feel much better. Everyone breathe a sigh of relief. Paul Skeens goes over 6.5 strikeouts with his 7th strikeout of the night here against the Colorado Rockies. And this was a reason, there was a reason why we played this, not just because Paul Skeens has been in good form lately. If you look at his strikeout numbers, yes, we could talk about the hit rates, 10 strikeouts, 7, 10, 2, like he had been in good form lately, but the Rockies had been in bad form when it comes to the opposing pitchers on their strikeout prop. It is now 13-6. In fact, I should probably go back and update these numbers because it was 12-6. Maybe it's now 13-5 on the opposing starting pitcher going over their strikeout prop against the Colorado Rockies over the last, 16 games or so. So just an incredible run for betting pitchers to go over their strikeout prop against the Rockies. Something to file away for maybe tomorrow, Rockies against the Pirates. It'll be Jared Jones on the mound for Pittsburgh in that one. Other scores in progress right now. Bottom of the second inning in Sacramento, the Angels with a 2-0 lead over the A's. We don't have any bets in this one. Top of the third inning in Seattle, the Mariners with a 1-0 lead over the Red Sox. We have the over 7 in this game. So actually, I did over 7.5 at plus money. Mariners with that 1-0 lead, top of the third inning. The Red Sox have yet to get a hit off of Emerson Hancock. We're in the bottom of the third inning in LA, the Orioles with a 1-0 lead over the Dodgers. We bet in this game Yoshinobu Yamamoto to go over his outs recorded prop. So we need him to pitch into the seventh inning. And so right now he's through three. We need him to pitch into the seventh. Let's take a look at his pitch count here. Yamamoto is at 40 pitches here for three innings. So 40 pitches. Why is Ohtani on the pitching thing? Let me look at something else here. Oh, did Ohtani pitch or is he going in? What's going on here? Let me see this. Let me look at MLB.com. Because why is Ohtani listed in the box score as a pitcher? Let's see. Let's look at the Dodgers. Why is this Dodgers box score here? Yeah, no. I don't know why ESPN had that. Yamamoto, 40 pitches, 3 innings, 2 hits, 1 run, 1 walk, 3 strikeouts. So at 40 pitches here through 3 innings, let's double that. He gets 80 pitches through 6. he should be good to go into the seventh inning if, in fact, he's at 80 pitches here through six innings, which is just doubling what he did for the first three innings. So we're good. We're on pace. We need him to pitch into the seventh inning. Dodgers trailing 1-0. If you're interested in a Dodgers live bet, they're trailing 1-0 here going to the top of the fourth inning. You can get the Dodgers minus 136 now on the live line. Your live total is 6.5. Dodgers were massive favorites, almost $3 favorites here over the Orioles. Elsewhere, I mentioned we have the over in that Red Sox game that we're sweating out. We also have the Twins as an underdog plus 105. They are winning 2-0 over the Diamondbacks, top of the third inning. And we are fading Zach Gallen here. We bet the under 17.5 outs recorded for Zach Gallen. Gallen, 40 pitches here in 2 2/3 innings. Let's hope he gets knocked out after five innings. That would be great. More runs that the Twins score, the better for us here on this slate. So that's what we're sweating out with the night slate of games in progress right now for your Major League Baseball schedule. Coming up a little bit later on this evening, we actually have another World Cup game. That's right. It technically goes in as a Sunday game because it is midnight Eastern time, but 9 o'clock Pacific time, Japan takes on Tunisia. Japan coming off of a draw against the Netherlands, Tunisia coming off of a loss in their first match. That was against Sweden, 5-1. Looking at the three-way line right now, up on DraftKings at least, it is Japan minus 235, the draw plus 350. And if you like Tunisia on the other side, it's plus 750. Looking at the standings in that group, Japan has 1 point, Sweden with 3 points after their loss against the Netherlands. The Netherlands with 4 points leading their group. So if Japan gets a win here, they will have 4 points as well, setting up their, but they drew with the Netherlands, so it would set up what happens in the final game plus goal differential to see how the group plays out, right? And then I think both of them pretty much advance. The Netherlands is going to advance. And then Sweden, in their final match, will take on they take on Japan. So Sweden with 3 points right now. If Japan wins tonight, they'll have 4 points. It's going to come down to that final match, Japan versus Sweden. If there's a winner in that game, that winner can finish, you know, with the tops in the group, depending on goal differential between Japan and the Netherlands. If Japan wins tonight, if there's a draw in that matchup, then it'll be 5 points for Japan. Assuming they get a win tonight, they would advance. Sweden with 4 points would not advance unless you think the Netherlands is going to have a hiccup against Tunisia, which they're likely not going to do. So keep that in mind as you're betting these World Cup matches, what has to happen for these teams. Like, let's take a look at the three matches or four matches that we have here on Sunday. You have Spain against Saudi Arabia. Spain come and by the way, this was the group where you had the four draws in the one day, like just a ridiculous historic day of draws. So all of these teams need wins. All of these teams are coming off of draws in their opening match. They all have 1 point in the group. So right now, Spain takes on Saudi Arabia. Overwhelming favorites. Spain is minus 1,000 on the three-way line. You got to get creative if you're going to bet Spain. Right now, you can look at the spread, which is Spain minus 2.5 goals, minus 105. You can lay minus 280 if you like Spain minus 1.5. If you just want to do team total goals, Spain to score over 2.5 goals, minus 163. I don't hate laying the juice on that. Or, you know, you can bet, like, you know, Spain, the Spain to win to nil. If Spain wins 3-0, probably take an exact on that. Spain could also just put a hurting on, you know, Saudi Arabia. They could just score a ton of goals here. I think I'd rather go with the team total over 2.5 than do the spread at minus 2.5. Because what if it's a 3-1 finish, right? What if Saudi Arabia gets one? You know, you always run that risk here. Elsewhere on the board, again, here's your schedule for the games. You have Belgium against Iran. And looking at the three-way line up on DraftKings right now, it is Belgium minus 235, the draw plus 380, Iran plus 650. Uruguay takes on Cape Verde. Uruguay minus 215, the draw plus 320, Cape Verde plus 700. And New Zealand takes on Egypt, where Egypt minus 165, New Zealand plus 450, the draw plus 320. But really, the group that we're focused on here is a very interesting group. And this is like, both these groups are very interesting. Everybody in both groups sitting here with 1 point each. So positioning is up for grabs here in these matches, full of drama coming up here on Sunday. Hey, tomorrow morning, start your day with the VSiN Weekend Morning Line with John Jastrzemski and Will Hill at 9 a.m. Eastern. Then Ready, Set, Bet has you covered for everything you need. Ben Stevens and Joe Cirillo will be with you on Live Bet Sunday, tracking the U.S. Open, of course. And then I'll be back with you on Live Bet Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern time to close out the weekend. It's all coming up right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. I'm Scott Seidenberg. We'll talk to you tomorrow on Live Bet Sunday.